Be turning in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Good morning. It's great to see everyone. I've titled my lesson this morning, God is Good. God is Good. You know, this week, as a country, we get to celebrate Thanksgiving. We gather with family and friends to remember how good God is. And I think it's a wonderful time of the year to make sure that we're not just thanking God for the things He's done in our lives, but we're truly thanking God for who He is. Yes, He's done a lot of things for us and continues to do that. But I don't know about you, God is enough for me. Everything He does for you and I every single day is gravy on the turkey, so to speak. It's icing on the cake. God ought to be enough. And hopefully, for every single one of us in here, I pray that every single day we realize that God is good. And we remember to give Him thanks for just how good He is. This is my first sermon after the accident my wife and I had about 2 weeks ago. And I can honestly tell you, I am very thankful to be alive. I got to say thank you to Mike and Chloe Rao. They were the first couple my wife called right after we had the accident. She called the Colliers also. They were not too far off, and they were trying to make their way to us, and we told them they didn't have to. Glenn and Sheila Hayes made their way to meet me at St. Joseph's. Over the last 2 weeks, the cards, the prayers, the visits, the text messages, I've been overwhelming. And on behalf of my wife and I want to truly say thank you for your love that you've poured out on us. Personally, I need to thank my wife. When the accident happened, I was dazed. I was in pain. And she swung into action for 3 days, making sure that I was okay. And then she started feeling the aches and pains. I don't know what I would have done if she wasn't in the car. When the lady hit us, my head swung to the side and hit Sarah's face over here. My glasses flew off. But she's been such a trooper. Because honestly, she didn't start feeling the pain until 72 hours later. But I am very, very thankful to be alive. When I started this month of turning everything off, just spending time with my God, reading my Bible, praying, fasting, I had no idea what the month was going to hold. It's been very humbling praying through all the prayer lists you guys gave me several weeks ago. Because that's all I've been doing. And it's been so refreshing because, I got to tell you this, nobody's asked for anything materialistic. Almost all the prayer requests from you guys is about, I want to be closer to God. I want my children to become Christians. That's what you've been asking for. That's what I've been praying about. And I know God is going to answer our prayers. Amen. Because He's a good God. Because that's what my Bible teaches. In Psalm 118, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to run through these verses very quickly. But go to Psalm 46 like I asked you to. It says, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. That's Psalm 118, verses 1 to 7. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. That's Psalm 25, verses 1 to 5. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Amen. Or Psalm 84, verses 10 to 11. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Psalm 119, verse 68. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. Psalm 135, verse 3. Brothers and sisters, because God is good, we don't have to look anyplace else. Because God is enough. He created us in his own image. We are his children. He cares about us. He's always taking care of us. Every single day of the week. Every single moment of the day. And that is where our security and our confidence needs to come from. Satan does not want us to remember this. Especially when we're going through struggles. But even in your struggles, even in my struggles, God is good. Amen? He is still good. He's with us every step of the way. You know, I remember when my kids were little, and obviously we all do this, you know, from the age where they can pray, when you sit down and before a meal, you say grace, you give thanks for the food. Amen? And I'll never forget, you know, I think we had just moved to Nigeria at the time from Southern Africa, and they came back. And we're getting ready to eat that night. I said, okay, we're going to pray. We're going to say grace like we always do. And I said, well, can we do it the way we've just been taught in school today? I said, go ahead. And they started to sing. And the song was very simple, but it brought tears to my eyes. It goes like this. Some have food but cannot eat. Some can eat but have no food. We have food and we can eat. Glory be to you, O God. At that point in my life, I'd never heard that song. But I learned it in school. It says, some have food but cannot eat. Some can eat but have no food. You and I have food and we can eat. Glory be to God for that. Amen. And there's so many little things that God does for us on a daily basis. Only God can turn a mess into a message. Only God can turn a test into a testimony. Only God can turn a trial into a triumph. Only God can turn a victim into a victory. Now turn with me to Psalm 46. This is what I've been thinking about and praying about and looking at the last 2 weeks. In Psalm 46 in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought about on earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bows and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I mean, look at what it says here. It says that God is my refuge and my strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not be afraid, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the desert of into the heart of the sea. He says, the Lord God Almighty is with you. Is with me. The God of Jacob, the same God of Abraham, the same God of Isaac, the same God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen? So I'm saying to you this morning, child of God, hold your head up. You got nothing to be afraid of. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Unless God wills it. Amen? Amen? God is with us. God is on our side, fighting our battles, looking out for us. He's a good God. He's been so good, it's not even funny. Right here, he tells me in verse 10, says, be still, Richard, and know that I am God. I am shocked that I walked out of that accident, except for a bum shoulder, and I've started rehabbing it. She missed me by a few inches. I've said this to several of us in the last 2 weeks. When this month started, I've got to be very open with you. I've got to be very honest with you. When this month started, the thought came through my mind. I said, what if God takes me this month? I had that thought. Nobody asked me to do this. I canceled 2 trips out of town because of it. I called those brothers and I said, you know, guys, I love you. I just need to be with my God. I'm shutting everything off. I just need to be with my God. And I'm very thankful you guys have allowed me to do that. I'm still engaged with people every day. But I just saw something inside of me. I got to do this. I can honestly tell you, for me personally, I am having me a November to remember. And, you know, my wife has celebrated her birthday beginning of November. And I planned, we're going to take Saturday night. We're going to go off and celebrate and, you know, go to the movies. We like the movies, okay? We're going to go eat and just have a great time together. We'll spend the night out in a hotel Saturday night. We'll come to church Sunday morning. We had everything all planned out. Stephen was going to be preaching that morning. And I'll never forget, it was around 1 a.m. that morning, that Saturday morning, before we left. My wife and I are talking in bed. And I said to her, I said, Sarah, if God takes me this month, take care of the girls. The accident happened that afternoon around 4 p.m. I'm still here. That tells me God says, it's not your time. I still got work to do on this place. And I know one day I'm not going to be here. One day you are not going to be here. After getting home that night from the hospital, I had to go listen to my lesson from the previous week when I talked about don't worry. I just sat there on the bed listening to it on the computer. And it was as if I was preaching to myself. Because remember, at the end of that lesson, I was talking about, you know what? Because God took care of you last week and last month and yesterday, he's going to take care of you tomorrow and next week and so on. And I'm sitting there going, I can't believe it. It wasn't even 7 days that I'd said that. I remember being put in the ambulance. The officer comes in and gives me a citation. He says, you are coming the wrong direction. I said, what? I called my wife. I said, go after that guy. They're saying, well, I'm at fault. And said, I went after him. I said, look at the angles of the car. Look at the damage. There is no way we're coming from this direction. The officer now goes, oh, she lied to me. It's like, duh, what did you expect? And so she was charged with following too closely. I don't know where she came from. We were literally at the entrance of the hotel, making a left turn. All of a sudden, I just said, bam! Spun the car around. As a matter of fact, the car is now moving back towards her. And said, I go, stop the car, stop the car. And I put the car in park, and I turned the engine off, and I took my seatbelt, I tried to stand up. That's when I realized, ooh, my shoulder. And I'm all dazed. I said, just sit down. I remember her dialing 911. I'm just thinking, man, it's taking so long for them to get here. Eventually, you know, all the police and the ambulances, they all got there. I remember being taken off to the hospital and going, wow, so this is what it feels like being in this one of these things. I've never been in an ambulance ever in my life. You know, and they're radioing ahead, you know, 51-year-old male and this and this and this and this. And I'm like, whoa. And they got me to St. Joseph's. And as God would have it, the place was quiet. I mean, I walked in, the doctor was in there within 2 minutes. They took me to x-ray very, very quickly. I remember the doctor coming back in and says, you know, everything looks fine. We're going to let you, everything looks fine. He gave me the thumbs up. I go, can I go home tonight? He says, yes. I said, thank you. Sorry, Andrea, I don't like hospitals. But God was with me the whole time. And I'm thankful to be alive. When you get out of your home in the morning and you go to work and you come back, don't just put your head down on the pillow and go to sleep. Thank God for being with you throughout the entire day. Thank God for allowing you to come back home to your family and to be able to see them and to be able to put your head down on the pillow. Some people have no place to sleep. Some people are out in the cold. I mean, winter is already here. I mean, God has been so good to you and me. That could be us on the street. That could be you and me homeless. That's why always our hearts need to go out to people. That everything God has blessed you with, I know I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about this a lot in January when we're talking about the treasure principle. Everything God has blessed you with is not so that you spend it on yourself, it's so that you use it to help other people. That's why we have the resources we have. Is to help other people, and that's it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't buy things for ourselves. But it's God has given us all these resources because, believe it or not, you and I are the answer to the prayers of many. As you and I are sitting here this morning, there are people on their knees begging God to take care of their needs, and you and I are the answer to that prayer. And when we understand how much we've been blessed and that you and I have been called to be a blessing to other people, then we really begin to live the life that God has called us to live. Amen? Amen. You know, it's amazing to me. It was Sunday on the 10th, and I couldn't sleep that night. I was in so much pain. I remember waking up that next morning, and there was actually a group of people, accident investigators in the hotel, and they heard the sound and they rushed out. And so one of the ladies was telling my wife, you know, you need to write down everything you can remember because you're not going to remember it. And so I'm playing everything back in my mind. And I remember, I asked myself, wait a second, what day was yesterday? Oh, November 9th. That's when it dawned on me. It was exactly a year that my friend Damien Jean-Baptiste passed away. And it's funny, I'd been thinking about him all week. I'm praying for his wife and kids. But that Saturday, for some reason, I just never thought of it. See, God is good. You know, when Glenn and Sheila showed up Sunday afternoon to bring us lunch, I shared it with Glenn. And Glenn is joking. He says, yeah, Damien saw you coming. I said, get back there. It's not your time. Get back. I said, I don't think he's got that kind of clout. But you see, we have a lot to be thankful for. You are still here because God wants you here. I'm still here because God wants me here. Because there's work to be done. Because when the day happens, when your job is done, that's when he's going to take you. That is when he's going to take me. Amen? And so every single day that, you know, we get to experience, we sang about it this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We need to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Someone once said, you can't be grateful for something you feel entitled to. You can't be grateful for something you feel entitled to. You and I are not entitled to life. We're not entitled to anything. And I think for some of us, that's why we're not grateful. Our prayers to God every day shouldn't just be, oh God, please give me this, give me this, give me this, do this for me. It needs to be a lot of thanksgiving. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my kids. Thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you that I have a job. Thank you that my limbs are working. Thank you that I'm not in some hospital attached to some machine. We have a lot to be thankful for. But if we feel entitled, we're not going to give thanks to God. You know, I don't know if you realize this. God has been the only constant in your life from the moment you were born. He's been with you every single day, every single hour. That's been the one constant in all our lives since we were born. He's been there with us in good times and in bad times. Look in Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, David writes, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. David was able to say, he extolled, in other words, he praised God at all times. That means the good times and the bad times. He says his praise was always on his lips. It's not just saying praise the Lord. It's really being thankful from the heart. It takes time. You and I need time to reflect on that throughout the day. Amen? You know, yeah, you may be on the job and you're having a hard time. Maybe your supervisor just called you in and yelled at you, and you're feeling bad. Be thankful that you have a job that you can get yelled at. You see, it's all about perspective. I'm thankful that I got a job that somebody can yell at me. Amen?
Amen.
God is trying to toughen your character. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying what that man or that woman did is right. But God has allowed it to happen for a reason. To teach you and I something. You've heard me say this so many times. You know how it is when, you know, we get up in the morning, we're talking to God, and we're asking him to be with us throughout the entire day. We're asking him to help us to be humble and to be patient. Oh, you better get ready. Because throughout the entire day, I promise you, God will put you in positions to find out what you're going to do and how you're going to react. People are going to cut you off in traffic, call you names, and God is going to say, okay, you asked for it. You asked me to teach you humility. Guess what? Here's how I teach you humility. By allowing other people to mistreat you and then to watch how you and I are going to react. So God is answering your prayers. You say, well, because of that, I'm not going to pray such prayers. You're missing the point. You and I need to be praying like that, amen? Your wife will point some things out. Your kids will point some things out. But you see, we got to make sure that we're glorifying the Lord all the time. Amen? Amen? God's plan for us does not depend on our greatness or on our abilities, but rather only on His. And that's where our confidence should come from. We are God's children, dearly loved and valuable beyond measure. Every single one of us, not even a hair of your head can fall to the ground except for the will of God. I don't know how that makes you feel when you read those kind of verses. Nothing can happen to you unless God wills it. I remember, I think it was about 2 days after my accident, I studied and I was studying out Job. And I thought, I'm in pain. What that guy went through. I mean, on 5 different occasions. Hey, this happened. And boom, your kids are all gone. Hey, this happened. All your flock, they're gone. This happened. And this is gone. And you know what his response was? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. May the name of God be praised. And I'm like, wow. God help me, I'm not there. He says, may the name of God be praised. And how did that all that stuff happen? Satan showed up and said, look at it, look at your servant Job. Is it because of the hedge you put around him? You let me at him and see what happens. And God says, go ahead, but don't touch his life. And Satan went and wreaked havoc. And I read that, and I started praying. I said, God, please, for the rest of my earthly life, do not remove that hedge you put around me and my family. Why are you laughing? Because I believe 2 weeks ago, Satan tried to take me out. I said, God, please, I need that hedge. Don't you ever, please, remove it. That the devil cannot get through. He will go have to mess with somebody else. I've started praying that prayer. I don't want the devil to take me out. Are you kidding me? In case you didn't know, I have a very low pain threshold. I'm not kidding you. John is the opposite. John has a very high pain threshold. I mean, last week, did you know his legs were hurting as he was preaching? He hobbled into this place. I saw him when he was coming from his car into the auditorium. He was hobbling. And boy, oh boy, he got up last week and flat preached the word. And then he paid for it the rest of the day. The Holy Spirit wore off, and then, boy, the pain came. I couldn't do what he did last week. As a matter of fact, I told him to have a backup. He says, don't worry, bro. You're going to have to drag me out of bed for me not to preach next week. I said, okay, no problem. I'm just suggesting. But you see, we got to be praying such prayers that God never leave us, God never forsake us, that God places that edge around us. Because I'm telling you, Satan shows up and says, you know, look at Tommy. You let me at him and see what happens. Look at Dan. You let me at him and see what happens. Look at Diane. You let me at her and see what happens. The powers you and I are fighting is not against flesh and blood. The Bible tells us that. Amen? Amen? This is spiritual warfare. And that's why we got to be in prayer with God. We got to be praying for one another. Amen? Amen? A guy named Meister Eckhart once said, if the only prayer you said in your life was thank you, that will suffice. If the only prayer you said in your life was thank you to God, obviously, that would suffice. God is good and God is sovereign. Faith is believing both are true at all times. That despite all the hard times you and I go through, that God is still good. Amen? Amen? You see, I want you to imagine that you wake up in the morning and your computer shows, you know, God talks to you. Like, you know how it is when the computer first started talking to us? Okay, I'm reading this book right now. It's this thick on Steve Jobs. It's very fascinating. And how Apple was built and all that stuff. The first time he did his presentation, I had a computer that said, "My name is Mac." And this, I mean, people were losing their minds. All this stuff now that you and I play with, you know, all these iPads and all this stuff. I mean, he was thinking this stuff way back in the early 80s. And pushing people to bring it to reality. He was a fascinating guy. He also had a horrible character. He would take a shower once a week. His first job, he walked in barefoot and said he wanted to see the CEO, and he got hired. And because he smelled so much, they put him on the night shift. I kid you not. The man was totally crazy. But you and I, we're using a lot of technology today. How did I get on Steve Jobs? Oh, okay. I'm reading the book right now. Now, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Okay, I remember that. Computer. Okay. Imagine you wake up in the morning, all right? And this is the message you see from God. Okay? Good morning. This is God. I will be handling all your affairs today. I will not need your help. Stay close to me and relax. The ride will be bumpy, so buckle up. Just remember, I love you. Y'all have a nice day now. You know, when the South, I think that's the way he's going to say it. Okay? But honestly, brothers and sisters, every single day, God is with us. He's saying, you know what, I got this. I got your back. You got nothing to worry about. Trust me. Walk with me. I will see you through this. Amen? Amen. That's what it's all about. And so as we celebrate Thanksgiving, brothers and sisters, let us remember how God is good, how good he's been to us. Not just this year, all the years we've been alive on this earth. All this stuff he's done for us. All this stuff he's brought us through. And all the things we know he's going to bring us through in the coming months and in the coming years. God loves you. Like John started talking about last week. John loves all of us. We're his children. We're created in his image. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't you ever forget it. God is good. We need to give him thanks. We need to give him praise. Because his love endures forever. Happy Thanksgiving.
I have one announcement. Just a reminder for all the actors and singers who are part of the Christmas program, please meet backstage in 10 minutes after the dismissal. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, you are incredible. You are amazing. God, you are good. Just like Richard was just preaching about, Father, you are so good. There is no one else who is good. You have been with us since the beginning. Since before time, you were thinking about us, God, and you destined us to be your children, your sons, your daughters. You love us so much, even to give your own life for us, God, so that we can be free, so that we can live in your peace, God. You are incredible. You are so faithful, God. God, I pray that we remember and give thanks for all the things you've done for us, but even more for who you are, God. Because you are a good God, and you are not an evil God. It's amazing, Father, that we are at your mercy and you give us so much, even though we're knuckleheads every day, God. And we're just stubborn, Father. We don't know. But God, you reveal things to us. You're patient with us. You're so amazing and you never leave us, God. Even though we sin, you never leave us. You still love us, God. Father, I pray, just renew our minds so that we truly understand how good you are, that we get to know you better, that we get closer to you, God, because that's what truly matters. You have led us to find that treasure, which is you, God, and your word. And Father, I pray that we each go out and just have this message in our hearts, God, to truly transform our troubles into victories, God, so that we stay close to you at all times, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Happy Thanksgiving. You're dismissed.